Good morning. Well, before I even start, I think we found a new announcement guy with Matt doing it up here. So did a great job, Matt. Thank you. Well, I'm not Pastor Rich. And he is on a much needed vacation and spending time with his wife. I heard something about eventually they're going to be down in spring training for the Giants. I'm a little jealous of that, but that's okay. And then Pastor Jenny was on vacation last week, and so she was down in Disneyland with her family or Anaheim area. And so they came to me and said, well, do you want to talk? And I said, not really. But they said, well, we want you to talk. And I said, okay. So that's why I'm here, and we're going to do a little bit of talking about some stuff. But before I get started, there's a lot of new people here, and I just want to make sure people are clear. I am not ordained. I am not a minister. I have not been to any kind of seminary. I'm a simple layperson, just like you. And I take reading the Bible and going to lessons, and I kind of take it to heart, and I allow God to talk to me. So I may not be perfect up here. I may not have all the biblical knowledge, but I'm going to share with you what God has put on my heart, and I hope that it will touch your heart. So, but before we get started, I'd like to open us up in a word of prayer. So if you can please join me with that. Well, God, here we are. Thank you. And I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. I can just imagine that right now you are smiling down because the music and the worship has been beautiful. And you are pleased by these things. So now, God, we're going to continue, and we're going to talk about your word and how you can continue to work in our lives. And I ask that it continue to be a blessing to you. And that you use me as a vessel, that you can use me to fill this place with the words from your Holy Spirit. Father God, thank you. And it seems so small of a statement, but thank you. You give so much. And we ask and we just continue to pray that we can give it back to you. And we ask this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, well, as you saw in your bulletin, at the front of the bulletin, it talks about a little bit about what I'm going to be talking about. I have three beautiful children, and during my interactions and raising of my children, God has revealed many things to me. Many, many things to me. And so it's kind of, my title was, The Things I Learned About God Again Through My Children. And so that's what this is going to be about. So, but before we get started, we're going to show you, I want to go over a definition of something. Procrastination, to procrastinate or to be a procrastinator, to be slow or late about doing something that should be done, to delay doing something until a later time because you do not want to do it because you are lazy or etc. To put off intentionally and habitually. Now, you can be saying, well, what does this have to do with children? What could this possibly have to do with children? Well, there's some examples. I have three Bluefield kids, I said. One girl, Grace, and my two boys, Nathan and Sam. And we give them some simple requests. Go brush your teeth. Does that happen? No. Is there a battle every time? Yes. Go wash your hands before you come to supper. Does that happen? No. Is there a battle? Yes. Go clean your room. Pick up your clothes. Pick up your toys. Does this happen? No. But I don't understand it. I mean, it's not like it's the end of the world, right? I mean, it's something, a simple request we can give them. Tell them to go and clean their rooms or brush their teeth. I'm trying to set some good examples for them, some good guidelines. You know, brushing teeth, that is a great dental hygiene habit. That one's for you, Susie. I know you're listening later. Right? Plus, they wake up in the morning, they have that dragon breath from sleeping all night long. Go brush your teeth. Or how about the washing of hands? Do we really want to know where their hands have been? No. But we know that if they come to the table to eat dinner, we want those hands clean. And the picking up the room and the laundry, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to walk through my boys' room and have experienced new levels of pain as I've stepped on the latest Hot Wheel or Lego. It hurts. Pick up your room. So, do they listen to me? Are they listening to me? No. Why? Because they're lazy. They don't want to do it. There's nothing in it for them. It's not what they want to do. It's what I want them to do. I just don't get it. I just don't understand why my children don't have the respect to follow what I am giving them instructions to do. I mean, I am their father. I am the one in charge. Why don't they listen? And that, ladies and gentlemen, is when I got the hit on the back of the head. And guess who it is? Greg? Greg, it's God. And I hate to interrupt you in your little tirade here, but, you know, I've been asking you to do things. I've been asking you to go out and do stuff, and you're not doing it. Well, are you lazy? Are you putting off things that I've asked you to do? Why don't you do it, Greg? Okay. Well, I couldn't. No. Can't. No. You're right, God. You're right. I haven't done it. And I don't have an answer for you. Just like my children don't have an answer for me. And so it started a conversation with God. Started talking about, okay, God, well, what is it? Remind me again what it is that you're asking me to do. Remind me again what it would be that you are asking me. And we had some good discussions, God and I. You say, well, Greg, you remember that command I gave you a couple years ago that was really hot topic about going out and making disciples of all nations and of all people? How you doing on that one, Greg? Well, I'm not doing too good on that one. You're right. Greg, do you remember how I forgave you of all your sins and all your transgressions and how, you know, I took you in because even broken, I said, you know what, I love you and so I'm going to bring you in, I'm going to forgive you all those misdeeds that you did. But yet there's people that have hurt you. Have you forgiven them, Greg? No, I haven't. And the list goes on and on and on of what God can ask us to do things. But the one that I wanted to talk about today and that he put on my heart had to do about love. More specifically, loving one another. And what does that look like? Now, the verse that I chose today was from John 13, 34 through 35. If you want to open up your Bibles, but it'll be up on the screen in a minute. I'll give you a little bit of background. This is the Last Supper. This is where Jesus has gathered his disciples around. And he's together, and he's hanging out, and he's saying, all right, I'm going to give you some information. I'm going to give you a little bit of encouragement. I'm going to give you some instruction. I'm going to give you a little bit of warning of what is to come next after I'm gone. Because Jesus knows his time is done. He knows he's at his end of his time here on earth. And it's time to go to the next step. And the disciples have a lot of questions. They have a lot of fears. They want to go with him. Judas has already done the betrayal, or he's going to do the betrayal, but he's left the building, and so he's got just those that are with him now. And he says to them, he turns to them, and he says in 34 through 35, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's it. Love one another. I'm done. See you. No. Love one another. This isn't a new concept to these guys. They understand this. This has been preached about from the Old Testament. It's been in all cultures that are around them. The Romans practice this. The Jews practice this. You can find it in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Jesus even spoke of it earlier in his ministry as he was working with the disciples in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's even found later in John in chapter 15, verses 12 and verses 17. This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I've loved you. Verse 17, this is my command, love each other. That is it. You need to love the people in the church. You need to love the people outside the church. You need to love the people that know God. You need to love the people that don't know God. Love those that are lost and love those that are found. There are no exceptions to his command. But yet we put exceptions on everything. Do we love all? Do we love everyone? Do we love our neighbors? Do we love our coworkers? Do we love the people that we interact with every single day? Honestly ask yourself, do we? I think when the chips are down and any kind of catastrophe or any kind of situation like that, we do. We do go out of our way to help them. But that's it. We don't get to choose. You need to love everyone. Does God choose who he wants to love? I mean, think about it. Just think about it. Let's look at John 3:16, one of the most popular verses. People know it, even if they don't. When you hear it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God didn't say, I'm going to love you on the second and third Saturday of the months ending in Y. He didn't say that. He didn't put any kind of stipulations on when he said, I'm going to love you. I'm going to sacrifice my Son because I love you. He didn't put any conditions on it. So why do we put conditions on it? Why do we say, oh, I'm too busy, I don't have time to love right now. Or, it's not in my schedule to love today, I'm going to just focus on me. He doesn't say that. You know, Pastor Rich has done this many times, where he's taken this verse, and he says, take out the world, and put your name there. For God so loved Bill. For God so loved Alex, Matt and Kim, Sharon, Jenny. God loved you. He didn't put a condition on it. He said, I'm going to make this huge sacrifice. I'm going to take my Son and I'm going to bring him into the world and I'm going to have him be sacrificed for you. But yet when we turn around and we try to exhibit this love, we put conditions on it. Is that fair? Is that right? So God comes to me and says, well, you need to talk about love and loving one another. How important is this? I mean, we see it all through the Bible about loving one another, loving thy neighbor. And I'm going to tell you, am I doing this? No, not even close. That's why God and I are having this conversation. How about you? Are you doing this? Where are you in loving one another? I find it interesting that in verse 35, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's pretty powerful. People will recognize you as one of God's children by how you love one another. This isn't part of my notes, but we're doing the E100, and we talked about Joseph this last week. And how Joseph, I asked while I was on my vacation, it says in one of the verses that the Lord was with him and that Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. Well, why is that? It was by his actions. It was by what he was doing. He was loving, he was caring, he was working hard, he was glorifying God. Well, that's the same thing here. By our actions, by how we act in the world and go and love one another, people will recognize that there's something different about you. And being different isn't a bad thing, people. It's okay to be different. It's okay to step out and help somebody and love somebody. I think a lot of times we get a little afraid. I think fear falls into us and says, Well, I just don't know if I step out of my boundaries, if I step out of my box, maybe, just maybe, you know, I might have to be committed to something more. Oh, too bad. Maybe God shouldn't have gone on the cross for you. Come on, really? We are to love one another because he loved us first, plain and simple. He loved us first, and we need to continue that love to be a representation here on this planet, here today, not back in the Old Testament. It continues today. Not in the New Testament, today. Not 100 years ago, today. You know, I had a bunch of different examples here of, well, what does that look like? What does loving one another look like? And you can fill it in. Is it when you have a coworker that is a single mother and has two children, can't put enough food on the table? You buy a little bit of extra food for them to put on the table. Is that loving? Or maybe it's someone in our church, someone's unemployed in this church, and maybe they're having a hard time paying the bills. And you come alongside and you say, would you mind? No, I want to help you. I was out of a job for over a year and a half maybe. Got a job working part-time, which is exactly what I wanted. But one time during that year and a half, I had put something up about one of my cell phones. And one of the members came up to me and said, hey, do you need me to pay that bill for you? I want to pay that bill for you. I said, no, I'm good. I'm fine. But just the act, he said, I want to pay that for you so that you can go look for a job and that you can call people and try to get that work. That's love. Or how about the guy that you see standing on the street holding up the sign? Now I know that's a hot topic. That's a hot topic. What can you do? Well, have you even stopped to ask? I drive by. There's the guy at Costco or the family at Costco. Stands right out on the corner. One of these days I'm going to stop. And I need to do it soon. I need to do it soon. Some people may not know how to love, and I get that. Some people may never have experienced the love that we're talking about. You may be here today and be going, what is this guy rambling on about? And if that is the case, I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to share with you on what that love looks like. Maybe you have been hurt and you don't want to love anymore. Maybe it's like, I'm done. I don't want to do this. I want to tell you, hang in there. Because there is no greater joy from our God when you turn around and love someone else. When you show that love and that mercy and that grace to someone else, God is doing a dance up in heaven. And I have a perfect little example. I don't even need my notes. I don't know why I'm going over here. So I have, as I said, my daughter, and when she was, I think it was kindergarten, it could have been first grade. She has no separation anxiety. She was like, okay, I'm done. You can go, type of thing. It's like, I don't need you here, mom, dad. Go ahead, move on. And in her class, there's the desks were in little clusters, and so they kind of were facing each other. And we got there, and she was fine. She was coloring, doodling, doing whatever. But the boy across from her, he was scared. I mean, he had tears in his eyes. He was getting to that point where he was like, I don't want to be here. And I noticed that. And so I got down. I said, Grace, I said, look, see that little boy over there? I think he can use a friend. I think he can really use somebody to come alongside of him and, you know, say it's going to be okay. And I could say it, but he doesn't know me. And, I mean, you're going to be hanging out with him. This is going to be somebody that you're going to be sitting across the entire class, school year. And she, okay. She got right up. I'll do it. Not a problem. And so she went over, and I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm out of here. She doesn't want to be with me anymore. She goes over, and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait till she got home, because I wanted to ask her, "So how'd it go?" "With what, Dad?" "Oh, yeah, I'm not going to say his name, because sometimes they come to our church. We're best friends. We're best friends. It's cool. We're going out and playing on the playground, and we're swinging on the monkey bars." You get it? See how simple that was? And I gave her a simple command. Go out and just extend a hand of friendship. And she did it. No questions. "All right, Dad. If you think that's the right thing to do, that's the right thing to do." Well, God is telling us, hey, guess what? There's a lot of people out there that need someone to come alongside of them. And I can't imagine how many hurt people are out there, and we hold back the gift of God to them. That we are just saying, "Oh, I don't have time. This isn't the place. I don't have enough energy. Bull. If my child can get up and do it, then I can get up and do it. You can get up and do it. If you come across these people in your daily lives, and it's not a pick or choose, it should be everyone. But the ones that really stand out, the ones that you can tell have the tears in their eyes and are scared or going through a time where things are rough, get up and cross the room and go give them a hug. Get up and cross the room and say, "How can I help you? What can I do for you? How can we become friends?" And I think that's it, people. The greatest commandment is to love your God. The second one is to love your neighbor. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. He's given us this command to go and do. Don't procrastinate. Don't be lazy. Don't give up on God and go out and do it. So I'm going to come down here now. I'm pretty much done. And I know that's like a record sermon for this church, so I hope you're listening, Rich. We're gonna have music here in a few minutes, but we're gonna close in prayer. And there's gonna be some silent time. There's gonna be some quiet time where I really want you to think about: are you loving one another? And like I said before, it's not just inside the church. We don't just keep uplifting ourselves inside the church. We have to go outside the church. We have to go to those that don't know God and let them see who you are. So we're going to do a little bit of prayer. But then after this closing song, I want to invite you. Normally Pastor Rich is in the back. But today I've asked for other people to step up and be kind of your prayer warriors. Sharon's going to come down here after the song. And so if you want to pray with Sharon, or if you want to rededicate your life to loving God and loving those around him. I also asked Jerry Cooper. She's going to be over here. Maybe you want to go talk to Jerry. And what about if you're a first time, or maybe you've never heard about this love from God, or what this is all about, and maybe you want to take that next step and you want to find out and maybe dedicate your life to God. I'll be in the back, but I've also asked John Pusateri to be back there. We're going to have four people. Sometimes I think if it's just Rich, "Oh, I don't have time. He's talking to somebody else." Well, guess what? We're going to make it time for you. Or maybe you're just feeling beat up and you need to experience some of that love. Come talk to one of us. We'll be more than happy to say that God loves you, I love you, and we're here to lift you up. And what about maybe you want to take that next step? Maybe you want to learn a little bit more about this church, or what it takes, or what it means to be baptized. You know, we have a baptism back here. We'd like to use it. If you have questions about baptism, please come talk to us. We'll be more than happy to talk about what that means. This church has been a great support for my wife and I. We've been through a lot of good times and a lot of bad times. And the love that is poured through this church, we wouldn't have made it. I want you to experience that love. Okay? It's plain and simple. We're to go and love one another in all ways. Join me in prayer. Father, we are coming to you on a humble knee. We are not worthy, but you sacrificed your son for us. You gave us the greatest example of love, and you only ask that we return the love. Father God, if there is someone here today that wants to experience this love, give them the courage to come forward. Allow them to inquire what this love is about. Father God, that maybe there's someone here hurting right now. Someone that's hurting and doesn't understand it. How can there be such a powerful love when there's so much hurt in my life? Give them the courage to come forward so we can lift them up to you, Father, and wrap them in your love. And maybe there's someone here, God, that they've fallen away from you and they don't know how to express that love. We'd like to encourage them to come forward so that we can lift them up. You are a great and awesome God. There's so much hurt in this world. Remind us as we go from this place, that as we continue, when we leave this building, it doesn't stop here. It doesn't stop here. We have to continue to love and show this love so that people will recognize who we are and what we stand for. We are a servant to you, God. But remind us, allow us to be reminded that as we go from here and as we interact with the people that we come across every day, in our workplace, in our school, in our families, that we are worshiping you and giving you the glory and giving you the praise as we love them. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all that you do. Continue to pray as we close out in song. And ask God to teach you how to love again, or to show you who you need to love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.